Hello, this is a replay of our Sunday, December 4th church service. We hope you enjoy the music by Kaylin and Bob and the sermon by Pastor David Ripley. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to all those listening by radio and on the interweb. So I'm going to read a poem and some scripture to go with that poem, and then we're going to pray together. The poem is called, This is Jesus Checking In Today. A minister passing through his Christian church in the middle of the day decided to pause by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then the back door opened. A man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was kind of shabby. His coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt. He bowed his head and then he rose and walked away. In the days that followed, each noontime came this chap. Each time he knelt just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. Well, the minister's suspicion grew, with robbery a main fear. He decided to stop the man and ask him, what are you doing here? The old man said he worked down the road. Lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time to find strength and power. I stay only moments, see, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know much how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this is Jim checking in today. The minister, feeling foolish, told him it was fine. He told the man he was welcome to come and pray any time. Time to go, Jim smiled, said thanks. He hurried to the door. The minister knelt at the altar. He'd never done it before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love, and met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed his heart, he repeated old Jim's prayer. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been. Since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know much how to pray, but I think about you every day. So Jesus, this is me checking in today. Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Jim hadn't come. As more days passed without him, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Jim was with them brought changes in the ward. His smile's a joy contagious when he talked about the Lord. The head nurse couldn't understand why Jim was so glad when no flowers, calls, or cards came, not a visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed. He voiced the nurse's concern. No friend came to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Jim spoke up with a winsome smile. The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know that in here all the while. Every day at noon he's here, a dear friend of mine. He sits right down, takes my hand, leans over, and says to me, I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. Always love to hear you pray. I think about you each day. And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in today. And some scripture that I felt went with that is John 14:15-21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Word cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. I also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing of being able to gather together. We thank you for the freedom that we have. We thank you for this place that we live with an abundance around us. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around this world. We pray for those that are being held in captivity, those that are being sold into slavery. We pray for those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We pray for those that are just really having a struggle in their life, Father. We pray for all those that are sick and those that are waiting for operations. We pray for those that have still lost their jobs when they want to work so badly and desperately help people. We pray that you can use us in our community. Please help us to be there for each other and to be there in a time of need. We pray for our pastor today as you speak through him, Lord. We just pray that you give him the words. We thank you for new life, Lord, as pastor shared with us. And we just thank you for all that you provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, wasn't that a beautiful story? Thank you, Dave, for that story. Why don't we all stand? Good morning, congregation family. We'll praise the Lord.
Victory. Oh, victory.
Redeemer lives.
Yeah. As you give to me your strength. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, musicians, for leading us into praise and worship this morning. If you haven't picked up we're going to let the children make their way to Children's Church. All those children can make their way to Children's Church. If you haven't picked up a bookmark, they're free. How many know there's some things free in life? This is one of them. You can pick one up after the service. And I'm using it in my Bible to know where I need to be. So praise the Lord for that. 2 Peter. Last week, Pastor Raff preached on suffering. And he preached from 1 Peter. And now we are in 2 Peter. And I want to share for a few moments on keep looking up. Keep looking up. There's a little verse in the Bible that says, your redemption draweth near. Let me just say that again, because I don't think you're very excited about it. Your redemption draweth near. Come on, somebody. I know that we are moving into the Christmas season. And, you know, often during Christmas we get so busy going from place to place. You know, you're shopping, you're trying to find me the right gift. And there's just so many things to do. But you know what? We can't forget about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is getting closer and closer and closer. I pray that you're thrilled about that. You're full of joy about that this morning. Father, I just thank you for your precious word today. Pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and even as we prepare for communion, Lord, that you will minister to each and every one of us today, that you will speak into our hearts and into our lives. And Lord, I'm going to ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord, you know, a lot of people ask, what is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord in this context involves all that God is going to do to this planet. How many know there are judgments coming from the very throne room of heaven, according to the book of Revelation? These things are going to be poured out upon the earth. Now, I know there are some that differ doctrinally on what I just said. And, you know, everyone has a right to believe what they want to believe. And some believe that we are presently in the millennium. No, I'm serious. And that's growing within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they even believe that Satan has been bound. I'm not joking, folks. They believe that Satan has been bound and we are in the millennial reign. Well, I don't know about you, but I find it very hard to believe that Satan is bound. It seems to me his activity has increased. His activity has increased. I still believe in the rapture. I still believe in a 7-year tribulation. I still believe in the millennial reign after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe those things. Here in verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Like a thief. Suddenly. Like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, the Bible says. I'm sure Michelle can relate to that. Suddenly. Judgment will fall upon the earth. Now I know there's a lot of talk today about climate change. And I don't think it's working in Creston at this very moment. This is going to be the coldest December I've experienced in 5 years in Creston. And I told my cousin the other day, who follows climate change right down to the finest detail, I said, in Creston, it's climate change in reverse. And it seems like climate change has become a god to so many people. They worship at the feet of climate change. And they say, you know, by 2050 or by the 21st century, that somehow if we don't make a change, the whole country, the whole world is going to go down, down, down. There's not going to be enough food to feed everyone. And so on and so forth. They continue on these rants over and over and over again. You turn on the TV, it's there. If you open the internet, it's there. To convince you that you have to get rid of your gas-guzzling Ford. Why are you laughing? I've got a Ford. And I like to tow my GMC behind my motorhome. And Brother Gary said that's how GMCs work. They like to be towed. And buy an electric car. That's where the pressure is, to buy an electric car. All the carbon tax that we pay here in British Columbia, all the things that are being done to try to save the planet. Well, I want to declare this morning that no matter what mankind does, they will never save the planet, nor will they destroy it. It will be God who destroys this earth. The Bible says, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Go down to verse number 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But look at verse 13. But according to his promise, we as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who have committed their lives to him, who have been born again, hallelujah, whose lives have been impacted and changed by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, are looking for a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine? A new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Praise the Lord. No matter what we do to save the planet, whatever we engage in to save the planet, the Bible says in the end, it will be destroyed, and God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. What a day that's going to be. When my Jesus I shall see. I want to remind you today that you are only pilgrims walking through a journey on this earth, but this is not your home. Hallelujah. Heaven is your home. Can somebody praise the Lord this morning? Heaven is your home. Now I know that there's a lot of talk today about what's coming. There's a lot of talk today about currencies. And there's a lot of talk today about what's going to happen to the cash that you and I have in the bank. Have you counted it lately? Some of us, it doesn't take very long to count up everything that we have. You know, I used to watch my mother, bless her soul, every day she would pour all her coins out and cash, and she would do a little accounting of everything that she spent in that day. She did that continually. You can do all of that. But listen to what the Bible says on how to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all that's going to happen upon the earth, there is a sense and a call to preparation. And I'm amazed that God doesn't talk about money at all. He talks about the heart. How our hearts is what God wants to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is our heart this morning. What's happening in our lives? Pastor Raff mentioned it last week that the suffering that God is allowing believers to go through is a time of purification, a time of cleansing. And some people, they're not interested in that. As he said last week, Pastor Raff said last week, I didn't sign up for that. Well, you know what? We did sign up for that. When you came to Christ, your signature was already on the dotted line that no matter where he leads, I'm going to follow. Oh, glory to God. Wherever he leads, I'm going to follow. No matter how difficult the path may be, I'm going to follow. I'm going to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Even if it's painful, even if it's difficult, even if it's heart-wrenching, I'm going to follow him wherever he leads. Now let's look at the heart this morning as we prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 11. Since all these things are going to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? Well, I'm just going to relax. I'm going to take my foot off the pedal. And I'm just going to relax and enjoy the ride. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says here, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? In other words, God is after your heart this morning. He wants you to draw closer to him and become more like Jesus as you prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks here about holy conduct. How we carry on as believers. What kind of life are we living? Not in church. Because anybody could be a Christian in church, right? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's be honest this morning. How are you doing? Oh, I'm on top of the world, Pastor. I'm enjoying the blessings of God. It's called Christianese. The talking, the spouting out of religious words. But it's not how we live in church that God's concerned about. It's how we live our daily lives that really shows where our heart is. Right? How we conduct ourselves minute by minute, day by day, week by week, month by month. And you know what's happening, folks? Pastor Raph shared this last week. The pressure is on. You know what? God is allowing the church to come under His divine pressure. Because you will discover who you are when things don't go right. Hello? Hello, someone. Is anyone out there this morning? When everything is going smoothly, it's hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. But when the wheels fall off, are you hearing me? When things don't work out as planned, when things begin to go south, I don't know why they use that term, go south, because I want to go south. Someone said to me the other day, if you keep this up, you're going to go south. Thank you. I want to go south. I want to go south so badly right now. I want to go south to feel the sun beaming on my face. But the term is not positive. It's a negative term. It means that things are falling apart. Can you still say hallelujah? Can you still say praise the Lord when things go from bad to worse? When things begin to crumble before your eyes and the only thing you can stand upon is the word of Almighty God, hallelujah, and His promises? That's when you know that when the pressure's on, God is doing a work in your heart. You say, Pastor, can you pray that my path will be smooth and there will be flowers blooming on both sides of the path and there will be gold in abundance as I walk along that path? No, I can't promise you that. But the Bible says no matter what we go through in life, He will never leave us and He will never forsake us and He will be with us even to the very end. Hallelujah. Pain, heartache, suffering is all to produce holy conduct and godliness in your life and in my life. That's why James says, I thank God for every trial and every difficulty because it's producing patience in me. Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord three times that He would take this from me. And God said to him very, very clearly, my grace is sufficient for you, for my grace is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore I'm going to rejoice in infirmities. When's the last time you rejoiced in infirmities? All of that is to produce holy conduct in godliness as we prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to warn you this morning that some people are not going to want to go through what I'm talking about. You know the Great Reset? Well, there's also something else called the Great Flip-Flop. And that's when believers change sides. That's right, they have. Where they decide, you know what, I don't want to play this game anymore. They think it's a game. I'm going to just go with the world. It's the easiest path. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. I'm calling it the great flip-flop. Where people flip and flop away from what they know to be the truth and take the easy path. Friends, the easy path is always the devil's route. Hello, someone. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace. Oh, hallelujah. The devil is at the door. Knocking. It's not Amazon. It's the devil. And he's got a horde of demons to try to trip you up. But instead of being fearful, you're at peace. Peace is void of fear. Are you hearing me this morning? When you have peace flowing in your life, there is no fear. You know God is in control. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. And God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Praise the Lord. Well, that didn't work. That just fell apart. That's crumbling. But you're standing on solid ground this morning. Because you're standing upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never waver. He will never let you down. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you shout amen, somebody? He is not going to forsake you in your moment of difficulty. When he comes back, he wants to find us in peace. Not in fear. The economy's falling apart. Your $10,000 is worth a nickel. But you're still at peace. Hello, someone. You say, wait a minute. You're still at peace. Why? Because God said, if he be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. That no matter what hardship you go through or suffering you may endure, he's in your corner constantly fighting on your behalf. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, glory to God. You're on the winning team. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care how small an army it becomes. We are on the winning team this morning, and we will not retreat. We will march forward with the banner of the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, somebody, can you shout amen this morning? That's what God is doing. spotless. And the New American Standard says blameless. That purifying work that he's doing in our lives. You know, you can have all your ducks in order financially, and I'm not against that. I'm not against preparing. We're doing that here in the church. But if your heart is not right, all the preparation in the world is not enough. It's your heart, your spiritual heart, that needs to be right before God in all things. Because a right heart keeps your eyes focused on Jesus, looking for his return. Do you realize how fast things are moving? It's almost like a speeding bullet. How fast things are happening. One day it's here, the next day something else happens, the next day something else happens. It doesn't take years anymore. It's days and weeks that things are changing. All in preparation for what God is going to do to this earth. Verse 15. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. If you have your Bible, you can go to verse 9, and this is what it says. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. That is the heart of God. The ark door stays open another day, another week, so that someone can get saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the wisdom given him, speaking of Paul, wrote to you, is also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand. How many know when you read the book of Revelation, there are some things hard to understand? And anyone that could come to me today and say, I know it all, just come to me, Pastor, and spend a few hours with me on Wednesday afternoon, and I'll tell you everything about the book of Revelation. You know what? We don't know fully everything. Some things are hard to understand. Like, here's one that someone mentioned to me this past week. If we believe in the millennium, and during that time as Christians, we will have these new bodies, right? How will these new bodies interrelate and have fellowship with those who make it through the tribulation? Think about that for a minute. You've got just normal humans that have made it through, and here we have these immortal bodies. So he asked me, you know, he's a Bible college teacher. He asked me, so I don't understand that. I said, neither do I. Because our understanding is looking through a glass darkly. Are you hearing me? We don't understand everything. We don't perceive everything. But we know God has a plan. And that plan is being worked out even as I speak this morning. So when people don't understand something, they come up with their own ideas. Hello? And they twist the scriptures. And they manipulate the word of God to make it fit into their doctrine that does not even line up with the word of God. The Bible says, which the untaught and unstable distort. How many of there are people out there? No one here, of course. They're all out there. That they'll do everything they can to distort, to manipulate, to change what the Bible says. And friends, we have to reject those things. The Bible calls them untaught, ignorant people that have not truly examined the Scriptures the way they should be. Not dividing the word accordingly, but proposing all kinds of ideas and thinkings that do not line up with the totality of God's word. The Bible says, reject those things. Come back to the Bible. Let God speak to you. Let God minister to you. Let Him change your heart. Let Him transform your heart. Because Jesus is coming soon. I don't know where you are spiritually this morning, but as we edge closer to that day, we have to ask ourselves, are we spiritually prepared? Is this spiritual heart where it ought to be as we look to His coming? Praise God. Hallelujah. He's coming back, folks. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. He's coming back. We are going to see Him. We are going to be with Him for eternity. I'm asking the Lord today to change our hearts and get us in that place that we're looking for His return. Praise the Lord. Any day, any time. I want Him to find me watching and waiting. Will you bow your heads this morning? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You this morning. When I asked Pastor Raph just to come and prepare himself for communion. Father, I just thank You this morning. I thank You and I pray like John prayed in the book of Revelation. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Can you pray that this morning? Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Lord, that's my prayer this morning. That Father, You know the day and the hour. And we feel it so acutely this morning in our spirit that He's coming back so very soon. And I want to be prepared for His coming. Lord, prepare us. Prepare us spiritually for Your return. And I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.